When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You wanted the best, but well, they didn't fucking make it. So here's what you get.
This is Cobras and Fire. Rock's not dead. It's hiding. And you found it. Well done.
The time has come for the Cobra. Rise up and reveal himself.
Let's rock!
Fire! Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, joined today with the great Baco. And today's episode is officially the second part of our crazy covers episode. But in reality, it's just a really good excuse to tell this pretty detailed story about a fun but also ridiculous experience I had at a LA Guns, Kix, Slaughter, and Lita Ford concert. I attended it with a guy that looked like Thor, and hijinks ensue. So today we're going to be featuring music from those bands as well. It'll be interspersed during the concert review. So we've got LA Guns music, Kix music, Slaughter music, and like I said, it's part two of the crazy covers. So we've got covers of Danzig, Blackstone Cherry does a cover, and I've even got a cover of Phil Collins. I told you it was crazy, people. So let's just jump in this, and it's going to kick off with the breakdown of that concert I mentioned. Enjoy.
What am I thinking? I can't believe I haven't even started the episode with the story I'm about to tell about the concert I just saw last Friday. But anyway, they were just reminded me of seeing Slaughter, Kix, and...
How was that?
LA Guns and Lita Ford. Yeah, I'll go into that right now. Why not? We're known for our tangents, so...
Yes.
Okay, so last minute, my buddy, who, by the way, looks like Thor, and...
This Rob or someone else?
It's definitely not Rob, no. His name's Garrett, and he's got... His hair is so long.
It would be better if his name was Thork.
It would.
The old ways are done. You'd stand giving speeches while Asgard falls.
You are a vain, greedy, cruel boy.
And you are an old man and a fool.
But anyway, so right before the Thor movies came out, he started growing his hair. And his hair is first off, it's majestic. And it's down to... past the middle of his back now. It's ridiculous. Basically, if he were to cut his hair right now, that charity Locks of Love would make their quota for the entire year. I mean, that's how long his hair is right now.
Wow. And I have a friend named Garrett who's got long hair too, but I would never describe it as glorious.
Oh my God. So this guy, he does have a mane like Thor. He's about 6'4" or 6'5" and just a big dude. So he does look like Thor. So point being is when I go to this concert, I'm about to tell you, he's basically like an attraction, like some kind of event, the entire show. So anyway, I saw a quadruple bill in a place called The Amp in Pompano Beach, which is about a 2,000-seater, and it was a lineup consisting of LA Guns, Kix, Slaughter, and Lita Ford. And I had free tickets, so why not go? That's why.
Wait, did you know who's drumming for Lita Ford right now?
I'm going to go into that. That's okay. That's the whole thing about what a bizarro.
I'll let you go.
Concert it was. So, first, I'd never seen any of these bands live, and I also don't own any of their records. I was like a somewhat fan. Didn't hate them. Didn't really like them. I definitely
not
like
one them. Record, huh?
No. I've heard. I think I had Cocked and Loaded. Like borrowed from somebody at some point. And that was actually the one that sold me wanting to go see it. I've always wanted to see LA Guns live. So, because I definitely, of those bands, they're definitely by far my favorite.
I haven't seen what their current guitar player, but.
Yeah, I'll go into that too. It's So they started at 6 o'clock, and it went, you know, until 11 or whatnot, like a normal concert would. But I was like, 6 o'clock, that's early. I go, this means they're probably almost playing full sets or at least an hour each. I'm like, that's kind of cool, instead of just like, you know, starting it at 7:30.
Really, I was thinking the opposite. It's like they have that many bands and they start at 6. So.
No, that's pretty, I think it's pretty good, because usually if you have four...
The changeover was pretty quick then?
It was, yeah. So right at 6 on the dot, I'm out there waiting for Thor to show up, and he was late, which upset me, because you think he would just be able to fly and land there and all that stuff.
You are an old man and a fool!
So I was waiting, and all of a sudden I heard...
he's fighting with Beta Ray Bill.
And then all of a sudden I hear, talk about love! Playing Sex Action. I'm like, get the fuck here. I'm like, I don't have my tickets. I gotta go in.
Ellie Guns was first?
Yes, that's the first
part of
this.
Why the fuck was Lita Ford not the first band?
She was the headliner.
Shut the fuck up.
I know. That's what I'm trying to say is this lineup.
Is it like opposite land down there where people like leave when the headliner comes on and show up early?
Well, that was the part of the... Here's the order. It went LA
Guns.
Some
kind of elderly discount if you get there early.
Yes, listen. It went LA Guns, Kicks, and then Slaughter, and then Lita Ford. The only thing I liked about the way they did that is the thing I could go home. I didn't have to, like, I'm an old man, so I could go home. It's about an hour away from home, so I could get home by before midnight that way. But anyway.
Yes, in that sense, it's a good thing, but there's no way that Lita Ford and Kicks shouldn't be number one or two. You can flip them back and forth, and that's not a shot at either one of them.
No, I'm just saying, come on,
LA Guns had some legitimate, you know, attraction, and maybe you're just living in Lita Ford in Kicksland, but you know, no. Slaughter had a platinum record, LA Guns had a couple. Lita Ford and Kicks combined might be able to have enough record sales to get one.
Well, that's what I thought too. And when it was first announced, it was only Lita Ford and Slaughter. I'm like, no way would I go to that. And then they announced,
that has something to do with it then, huh?
Yeah, then they announced LA Guns and Kicks too, and I was like, all right, it's kind of interesting. But the other thing that was nuts about this is,
or real quick on that, I will tell you this, a lot of those shows, like, bands will be in the area and they'll book, you know, lower paying gigs.
Sure.
You know, to kind of, you know, like, well, we're available if you want to give us $2,000. We'll, you know, but anyway.
Yeah, so it started off with LA Guns. And also, the reason I wasn't going to go to this is it was absolutely insane. How much do you think that for decent seats at a concert with this lineup, that ticket you would see the tickets going for? Like, let's say the first 20 rows. What are those
for this lineup? I would not assume that there was seats. Not kidding at all.
Right,
they would play nobody around here that actually had like rows of seats.
Right. So this is actually
club.
Okay. How much do you think it would be for the first 20 rows if you looked on Ticketmaster for this?
I guess. I mean, 50? That's too
$80.
Much. Jesus.
Who the fuck is paying that? The next tier back is like 65, 50, and then they got the cheap ones, quote, cheap at 35 plus fees, 42. I'm like, I cannot validate paying that for this lineup. So my buddy got them on like Groupon for like $20 each. Yeah. So like a 2-for-1. So I'm like, Don, let's go. Go to Groupon for when you want to rock out. So we ended up going, and you know, like I said, I'm with basically a carnival exhibit, this guy. And so instantly he just went up and made friends with the security guards, and we were front row the entire concert, you know, with these people that have paid this insane money. The security was for shit. We just, you know, acted as if, as I always call it, and just like getting through there's always a way, the Death Star, anywhere. And you just went right up front, and actually the crowd was actually pretty big. It was of the 2,000. I was surprised that it was about, I would say, 3/4 full.
That's pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. It was definitely 1,000 plus.
Now, you mentioned that your area is pretty starved for concerts, correct?
Correct, yes. And actually, this is the same place that they're having Motorhead. Well, if they make it, he doesn't. get more they're sick. Make it. Yeah, I hope so. And but that's the same place they're doing Motorhead, Anthrax, and Crobot here at the end of the month. So there must be some promoter that just loves rock and is bringing it now, because they haven't had that. But anyway, going back to this, so Lele Guns hits, kills it. They have their guitarist must play in a Guns N' Roses cover band because he looks. He's a younger dude. He looks like Slash, though. He's leaning back the entire time, a cigarette dangling out of his mouth. You know,
he can smoke.
What, the kid? What
do you mean? No, I mean like in a building. Was this inside?
No, this is an amphitheater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he could still smoke. Where you couldn't have lit up a cigarette, correct?
No. I guess the band has different rules.
I think it's still a violation of local and city ordinances.
Shut the fuck up. Anyway, so he's up there. He's leaning back. He's definitely being a Slash impersonator. But they were great. I mean, I was shocked how well Phil Lewis's voice was, and that the mix was, and they just killed it. I mean, even if you didn't know some of the songs, they were phenomenal. You were singing by the second time the chorus came around. And I knew the majority of their stuff, but they played for, I would say, 45 minutes, maybe eight songs. Hmm. Have you seen them live before?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen them in about 4 or 5 years, but prior to that, I probably saw them about 4 times in 5 years.
Is there...
They were great.
Which version? Do they still have the two versions zipping around, or is this the only one
now? No, Tracy Guns was just here. He opened for, not Lynch Mob, Bullet Boys, and they're called Gunzo.
All right.
And they played 3 LA Guns songs, but mm-hmm. They used to have a guy named Stacy Blades, which I loved because of Tracy Guns.
Right.
But he killed it too. I haven't seen the current guitar player. I was a little disappointed when Stacy Blades left because I thought he was that good. But
he's good.
Yeah, the current guy, isn't he Asian?
I don't know. For that part, we actually weren't up front. We went up there after the, because we got there late, so we kind of smuggled ourselves up between LA Guns and Kix is when we went up. So I don't know. I wasn't that close to see. His hair was covering his face pretty much the whole time. That's why I say
there might have been like an Asian guy in between this guy and Stacy Blades. It doesn't matter. Who gives a crap? But I just, for what it's worth. Now I'm like, why am I talking about whether this guy's Asian or not?
I don't know. You're just curious if he's the guy. So anyway, so they played, killed it, and then, you know, again, the lineup's bizarre. So the next one up was Kix, which I listened to their latest album, which is okay, and I've never, the only song I really know by them is obviously Don't Close Your Eyes, and you know, I went back and listened to their stuff, and do you like them? They're okay.
I was a bit of a fan in high school. I kind of bailed on them after that Midnight, not the Blow My Fuse record I like.
So they came out, and man, these guys are the skinniest dudes I've ever seen. I mean, they look like they should be playing for food. I mean, they're tiny, tiny, because we were up close, and I was like, my God.
Do you know the story about, like, Poison ripping off a bunch of their shit?
Ripping off a lot of their songs?
No, mainly their stage show.
You know, obviously they have it. Go ahead.
And there's another band that, like half of Poison's early hits were ripped off of. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely like widely considered by people in the scene that basically what they did on stage is what Poison started doing on stage.
Well, again, both of these bands, I will say that the whole night was fun, even though these weren't my favorite bands.
Yeah.
The energy level, just off the hook. You can't teach stage presence. And if you go to, no, not really. So they were running around, you know, these are old men.
You are an old man and a fool.
You know, and they're zipping around, tons of energy that from versus these younger bands and everything, these young whippersnappers, they were teaching them how the big boys do it, or the very skinny, you know, boys
good
do it.
Good musicians for the most part.
Yeah, no, they were excellent, sounded good. This is the funny part, is we were center stage right up front, and you could not hear, the sound engineer should be drawn and quartered, because LA Guns sounded perfect. And these guys, the music sounded perfect. You couldn't hear a fucking vocal. So that went on. I was like, they're going to fix it. First two songs, they're going to fix it. Couldn't hear anything. Nothing at all. It was like we were watching an hour-long instrumental.
He must have been able to hear himself on stage if he wasn't saying anything.
He must have heard. And then my buddy says, maybe it's because we're in the middle. I'm like, that's not how concerts work. It's not like you're in the center stage, otherwise nobody would be here. He's like,
maybe it's because we're in the middle.
He's like, let's go to the left. And ironically, he was right. We went to where we were for LA Guns. The only speaker that the vocals were coming out was on the left. It's the most fucked up thing I've ever seen. So we watched the rest of the set there. Now, this is the most bizarre thing. Kix comes on second. They play 11 or 12 songs. I was like, are they still on stage? They play like over an hour for the second band.
That's too much Kix.
Yes, it is. It's way too much Kix. And then they leave. So next up is Slaughter, and they come out. They open with Wildlife, which I like that song. Go into their second song, and he stops, you know, introduces himself to the crowd, and I'm looking at they have Zoltan on drums now. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, I do.
He's cool. He's entertaining to watch and everything, and I don't know who they have in guitar now, but
Jeff Blando.
But they have you know, Dana is
a douche.
Yeah, well, he's running around and whatnot. And tons of energy, all the band, except for Mark Slaughter. The guy comes on stage, and he looks like he just woke up from the tour bus, looking really tired and way out of shape, unfortunately.
I don't think he... I just saw him on the metal show this last season. He's not looking good.
No, and then...
He doesn't look sick or anything like that.
No, he just looks unhealthy. And he came out, too, and he looked like he was about to do some yard work.
How did he sound?
Sound all right. Sound decent, but so he's not looking like he's really into it. And first off he says, you know, here's Dana, we go back to the Vinnie Vincent band. He's like, he's been my brother in the band since then. He's like introducing the band at that point. I'm like, okay, there's a reference to Vinnie Vincent right there. You know, you got half of the Vinnie Vincent band there. And it's just weird to even hear a reference to that band in a live setting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, who the hell ever mentions that?
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, so next is the third song they play was Mad About You. And again, we're right up front. And my buddy, we're like, where the fuck is Mark? We hear him singing, but he's not there. And we look around and we're like, oh, maybe he's doing that little shtick where they run into the crowd, you know what I mean, and sing to everybody and go back up. No, the entire crowd is looking around for him. We're like, this guy's in the shitter. Like, he left the stage for the entire song and was still singing somewhere.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm not kidding you.
He's in the bathroom?
I don't know where it was. Where the hell would he go?
Oh, okay. He's just off stage singing, though?
Yeah, he was off stage. He was not in the crowd. We look back. We're like, he's got to be in the crowd. And the entire place, they're like looking around like they're at a tennis match. They're like they're just looking back and forth, back and forth. Then right at the end, the last time they did the court.
Get cleared up.
I don't know what he was doing, but he was gone, like, and the band was like,
what? Let me just get one more piece of cheese.
He's like, I need to finish up the catering platter. I mean, it was ridiculous, and it was the most bizarre Spinal Tap.
Brought his own Tupperware.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly. So that, you know, and how many songs do you think that Slaughter played, which is kind of the second headliner, then the one co-headliner?
Well, you said 11 or 12 by Kix.
Yeah.
Well, they should play roughly the same, but I'm going to guess, because of the way you're telling the story, I'm going to say 7.
Yeah, they played 8 songs. And the other thing that was funny about it was that you ever seen Steel Panther live?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you ever seen, like, after they play the first song, they do the shtick, like they're about to end the show, kind of like the end of Black Diamond or whatever, and they keep doing the same chord over and over again and being like, you know, where you would say, like, good night, and doing, like, machine gun guitars and ridiculous. That's how the Slaughter ended every song.
So they play roughly the same length of time. They just kind of drag shit out.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, at the end of each track, they would go like da 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 da, and just like there should be fireworks going off every single track. It was a bit ridiculous. So I've never seen that before. But yeah, so they were gone, and then basically the end part is we stayed for one song of Lita Ford, and then she started the second one, saying, introducing the band. And she goes, "This is Bobby Rock from Vinnie Vincent Invasion." Mm-hmm.
So she said from Vinnie Vincent?
Yeah, she goes, "This is Bobby Rock."
Who's not from Nelson.
No, didn't mention anything about Nelson, but they said, "This is Bobby Rock from Vinnie Vincent Invasion." And again, it was just a bizarre thing that, you know, I'm seeing a concert where they have 3/4 of the Vinnie Vincent Invasion in some form or another.
Yeah, they should have got together and jammed some of that first record. That would have been great.
Not my cup of tea, but...
What?
No, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with the vocals on that album at all. No, not for me. I know that's it gives Chris Senzak a mean boner, but it's and we can debate that on.
I'm a sex shooter.
No, he's one of the. I think Vinnie Vincent is one of these things that's very interesting. Where
he was in Journey,
huh?
Robert Fleischman, the singer you're bitching about.
Yeah, well, whatever. So. Anyway, we're going to move on from there. But that's pretty much my recap of that concert. But it was actually really fun. I mean, I'm glad we left at Lita Ford because I could give two shits. But I was really
pleasant. Was that an amphitheater? That's even better. I really like the outdoor setting when it comes to especially those kind of like nostalgic shows. It almost adds to the atmosphere. Like, you're just more laid back. And it's like, yeah, we're all old. Play the fucking hits.
Exactly. No, it was good stuff. So I was pleasantly surprised how much fun we had. And so that's my recap of that concert. But a lot of funny little Spinal Tap moments throughout it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but, man, where was I going there? Blackstone Cherry. So Blackstone Cherry did a cover of the song...
Can't You See?
Can't You See?
That's my favorite Allman Brothers tune.
That's actually the Marshall Tucker Band. I had to look that up, too, because I know of it. It's one of those songs that have been on classic rock that I just really couldn't give two shits about, really. You're all over the place. It's not Allman Brothers. It's by the Marshall Tucker Band. But they really rock it up, the middle section. They just crank it. And have you heard this? Have you heard this version?
Wasn't Marshall Tucker just a fictional character in that Forgetting Sarah Marshall Tucker or something like that?
Here is Blackstone Cherry covering Can't You See?
I'm gonna take a freight train down at the station. And I don't care where it goes. I'm gonna climb a mountain.
Okay, so next up is a cover by the band Nonpoint, which I do not like at all. Not the cover.
I only know them by name.
What?
I only know them by name.
Yeah, they're just kind of a almost generic.
Well, they were like one of those bands that would hit the Ozfest thing, it seemed like, every other year.
Yeah, they're just kind of there. That I've tried to listen to a couple of their albums after hearing this cover, and no, not for me. But they did do an incredible cover of In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Yeah,
and they did it for the Miami Vice motion picture soundtrack. Not the show, but the movie that came out a couple years ago.
And did you happen to see, I put it on YouTube a couple weeks ago, it's a video of me doing like a hard rock version of the Phil Collins song Against All Odds.
Yeah, no, I did. It was,
you put those, I started with the drums. And
yeah, no, it was cool, the drums, how you came up with the drum. Pretty good drummer, too.
I wouldn't say that, but... Don't tell a drummer that anyway.
I'm just fluffing my host here, making sure. Nice. Yeah. So, but yeah, have you heard this cover?
I have not. No. Does it have like a part where the drums go?
Oh yeah, of course, man. And the drums in this, throughout the entire song, one of the things that makes it is the drums. But they really rock it out, and I really don't have anything to say about it except this cover kicks ass, and they take a.
The band doesn't.
That's right, but they bring it on this one, and again, all I can say about this band is their best song is a cover. So here's Nonpoint with In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh Lord.
Okay, we're coming to the end. Baco, what do you have to say here?
Thanks for sticking around for part two, people. That's my best Paul Stanley, by the way.
It's not very good.
But no, it's horrible.
I understand the sentiment. So, yeah, I mean, this is part two, the end of part two. We appreciate you sticking around, like you said, and your impression there. But, you know, we got one more, and that's a cover of Danzig's iconic song, Mother.
I'm not
a big Danzig fan at all. In other words, I'm not a fan, actually. Are you?
I am. He's a must-see theater for me.
Before we go into everything, now, it is funny that throughout this episode, the great thing about this show is, unlike others, like Decibel Geek, usually, I don't know if they just don't say their opinions or not, but Chris and Aaron either agree or don't really argue about their picks, where I think ours is like a fair and balanced news show, if there is one still. It's basically like a point counterpoint. Have you noticed that throughout the show?
Loose Cannon, you ignorant slut.
Exactly. It's pretty much back and forth like that. So anyway, I have nothing to say about Danzig except that I like this cover. The lady that does it is a singer-songwriter named Lissy. And it's kind of like starts slow and then kicks in at the end. Her voice is really cool.
It's like a full band thing then? I haven't heard
it. Yeah. No, it's full band. It's not like a chick in a coffee house getting all hippie like in granola. But it's...
I do think the fact that... I mean, that's one thing I like about Danzig, and very much of his music hits this. It's like there is a... there's like a lyrical and a melodic core to what he does that fits so many different genres. Like you could do a twisted cover on almost anything that he's done. So many of his tunes is probably a better way to put it. But
give me this then. If I was going to take one album as like the one you would say is the gateway drug, because he has some. I think he put out like what, 5, 6, 7?
More than that. Yeah, it's 8 or 9. But
give me one.
Probably the first one, but my personal favorite might be the fourth one. The first one has Mother and it's got Twisted Cane, and then every other song is good. But if you don't like Mother and you don't like Twisted Cane, you're not going to find anything on there that's going to convince you to feel differently about him any more than the following records. But I think that one's probably the key. But I also think I love the How the Gods Kill and Lucifuge. But
is that number four?
The fourth one is just called 4P or something like that.
Okay.
It goes the first one, then it goes Danzig 2, Lucifuge, Danzig 3, How the Gods Kill, and then 4P for some reason. I don't know, some Latin or some weird reference that he got from some kind of satanic, not satanic, Celtic Bible.
Seen him live?
Many times. Actually, I saw him 2 days before I got married. So we consider him our wedding band. We got married in Vegas on Halloween.
Wow.
So
that's pretty cool. It's hardcore. Nice.
That was my wife's idea. That's how awesome she is.
That is pretty phenomenal. So, all right, go ahead with any information you want to share about Danzig before we get into this cover.
You know, I mentioned to you that I wanted to touch a little bit on an article I wrote a couple years ago called "Why Danzig Can't Buy Glenn Danzig Can't Buy Kitty Litter," and it's kind of a humorous take on basically like. You can't be Glenn Danzig and be seen in the parking lot of a PetSmart.
No. It's like seeing Kerry King.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, or one of the things I tie in is that like James Hetfield wearing like a $500 t-shirt and a pair of flannel shorts with his wife shopping on Sunset or whatever that.
Wearing like a Bloomingdale's. I mean, he was
carrying a bag and it's
no.
like.
No. You it's can't like, carry a bag.
I get it that his wife wants time with him, but I'm sorry. The reason you get to spend this money and shop in these stores is because he is exactly the opposite of how you dressed him that day. And you should respect that. And Danzig, goddamn it, you have a career and you have a life. And the internet's been horrible to him, by the way.
Danzig, what are some pictures? I think I remember seeing the picture of him carrying a bag of cat litter, right?
Yeah, it's got a tiny cat sticking out of the bag, you know.
What's another picture that's funny of him?
Well, I mean, the ones I've seen that are funny of him other than that are typically like he's either just fat or it's like some kind of superimposed thing. But, you know, the fact of the matter is he's made a life and a career, and his financial well-being is best. is if he's not even seen in the sun, much less buying kitty litter.
Correct, yes.
I like his response was like, well, I don't know what the big deal is. I have a cat. I'm like,
that was his response.
Something like that. And he's not wrong. He's like, well, I have a cat. It needs cat litter. Being a respectful owner. But I'm like, dude, get someone to get your goddamn cat litter.
Yeah, handlers. You can't be seen.
You got to find someone because you're fucking Danzig. And now I'm going to picture you with that giant Danzig belt buckle using it to scoop poop out of your cat's litter box.
Anything else you want to add?
Mama!
Tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother, can you keep them in the dark for life? Can you hide them from the waiting world? Oh, mother. Father, I'm gonna take your daughter out tonight. Gonna show her my world. Father, I'm not about to see your light. But if you wanna find hell with me, I can show you what it is. Till you're bleeding, I'm not about to see your light. But if you wanna find hell with me, I can show you what is. Mother, tell your children not to hold my hand. Tell your children not to understand. Oh, mother. Oh, do you want to bang heads with me? Do you want to be everything? Oh, father. I'm not about to see your light, but if you want to find hell, gonna show you what it's like. Till you're bleeding, I'm not about to see your light. But if you wanna find hell with me, I'm gonna show you what it's like.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com. Code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.